Tonight is Sunday, the 11th day of April 2004, and the Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our first speaker, LaVon.
Hi, my name's LaVon. I'm an addict. Okay, I don't need that, right? First of all, I want to welcome anyone who's new, and let's see, I have like 35 minutes, so I'll see what I can kind of wrap up in that. My last day using was January 19th, 1998, but that wasn't the first time I had been in these rooms. I think I was through about 10 detoxes and maybe another 10 like rehabs before I like landed this time, and it was just really crazy. I remember on my last day using, I just felt so alone, so totally alone in my little motel room on Sunset Strip in Hollywood, and like taking the bus downtown to get my drugs and having like no one to call, nowhere to go, and having been kicked out of like the fifth rehab in 1 month, or running away, or something. I would run from them, I would use in them, I would get kicked out. I was just like such a mess, and I felt so alone and so tired and so done. I felt like I couldn't keep using the way I was using, because like it was just so much work. It was like killing me inside, like there was nothing in there. I was like dead inside. But I didn't feel like I could get clean either, because I'd been like exposed to these meetings and exposed to treatment, rehab, detox, like Narcotics Anonymous, like you name it, Anonymous, and like I just didn't believe that I was like any of you, or that I could do this like any of you, because my big thing also is honesty. Like, I just didn't think I could get honest, and didn't want to get honest with all these strangers. I have to say, like, I am so nervous. There's a lot of young people in the room tonight, and my sponsor was telling me, because my eighth step was like primarily consisted of what, like, the biggest like amends that I have to make. It's called my mean teen box. And like, because I was a really mean, I was a mean kid, the mean teenager, I was a mean through my 20s, I was just like mean, and I have like all these different things I did, like just being mean to people, and all these amends to make, you know, and so I have like this one big box, you know, of amends that we have to like wrap all these different kinds of amends that I need to make in different areas of my life in this mean teen box. I'm like, welcome, you guys, like, welcome. Oh, so there's that. I was gonna share a little bit about my history just to kind of qualify it. So, because there's not a lot of people that I use with in NA, and sometimes like I never see my sponsor loaded, and you know, there's all kinds of people before me I never seen use, and like you put them up on this pedestal and they're all like great and recovered and like give all this great spiritual guidance, and sometimes I feel like people don't believe that I use, so I like to like qualify a little bit. The way that I used was like probably the way that you used too, but I was thinking about my first drug of choice, I think, was cigarettes. Like, when I smoked a cigarette, like the first time I learned how to smoke, like when I first smoked a cigarette, I just coughed and gasped and like was like ready to just die. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. And then I got like all lightheaded and buzzed, and I was like, whoa, this is some good stuff. And like, then I just sought it out like all the time, and like was secretive, and then like, well, maybe my first drug of choice was like attention, because you know, I've been addict for all my life, I believe. But I got like to a point in my using that like I never expected I'd get, you know, when I was using and people would be like, oh, you know, you need to like slow down or stop, I'd be like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I have control of this because I can use on the weekends, or I can use, you know, when I feel like it and not use when I feel like it. And it took me a really long time to really believe I was an addict. You know, I spent so many years using just thinking it was just for fun. And I think a lot of it was fun. You know, if it wasn't for using, like, I couldn't have gotten through a lot of my youth, I think, because I was very angry. And using really helped me to, like, mellow out. And that was kind of my drug of choice, was mellow. And so I was doing crazy stuff that, like, I thought that only, like, junkies did. You know, people that were missing teeth and like, had big, huge gashes on their arms. And I was using with these people and just like them, and I felt like one of them. And I remember, like, when I was fixing once with these people in this cardboard house in this really great neighborhood downtown, this guy handed me a needle because I didn't have one, and he's all, oh, by the way, I have AIDS. And I was like, okay, I'll just rinse that out with some water. And I rinsed it out with water and used my drugs. And when I got clean, I was like, I didn't even want to take a test. I didn't want to take a hepatitis test. I didn't want to take HIV test because I knew that I just had everything. I'm like, I must. The way I use, like, I just didn't care. I didn't have time to go, you know, get some brand new needle. I just used because I had to get it in my system, like, immediately. And that was the way I used. When I got here this last time, I went to this treatment center out in Pasadena, and they were just like, we don't even want you here. You know, everywhere you go, like, I was talking to you about somebody who comes to this meeting, like, I would find, you know, people in any recovery center, if you looked like you had a weak program going on, I was like, with you, because, you know, we were getting loaded. And so, you know, I would use with all these different people in treatment and sleep with people, and I was in this one treatment center, and the poor nurse, I just drove her crazy. Like, I was saving my medication when she'd give it to me, and sneaking out of my room in the middle of the night and just acting like a lunatic, and she caught me, and I, like, made her feel so bad. I was just like, you ate all the Oreo cookies. There was a full bag. And like, she totally forgot about my problem, that I was sneaking out of my room because I just kept telling her she was, like, overweight because she ate all these Oreo cookies. Like, that's, like, the kind of mean stuff that I was, like, always driven to do. Like, anything to take the focus off me and, like, put it on you and make it your fault and, like, take my situation out of the whole picture was I would do whatever it took. And that meant, like, being mean to you or, you know, doing whatever I had to do, basically, because I had to get mine and get over on everyone. I had these, the reason, my motivating force behind getting clean this time and staying clean wasn't because, like, when I got here, I was like, oh, I really need some spiritual enlightenment. This drug use is just tearing me apart. It wasn't anything like that. I had gotten arrested at San Francisco Airport, and they had 5 felony counts against me. And the hardest time I ever did was in juvenile hall. I was in Las Patricas juvenile hall. And that was, like, my hardest time ever, because I used to, like to steal cars when I was younger. So I was really afraid about going to prison, because I got a lawyer, and I'm like, so I'm just going to get off, right? Because I don't have any record. And he's like, no, you could go to prison. You know, it's 5 felonies. That's really bad. So that was kind of my motivating force. So I went to a hospital in San Jose, I went down here, went to a place in Marina Del Rey like 5 times in a row, went to a place in North Hollywood twice, all these places I was getting loaded or sneaking out in my hospital gown and like in MacArthur Park, like using with my like hospital nightgown on and running back to treatment. Like, it was just chaotic, but I really had to get clean because I had this court case coming up, and that was my motivating force behind me. And then I finally landed in this place like 2 weeks before my court date. And it was in Pasadena, and it was my 5th time there. And they were like, we are not having your shit around here. We are searching you every day, cavity search. We are searching your room. We are searching your roommates. And we are going to, like, cluster you every day about what your behavior is each day until we feel like you're behaving. So this is kind of how they treated me when I first got there. And they were really, really hard on me, and they really had to kick my ass because I have this problem where I think that I know how to control my life, and I know how to do things better than you do, and I know how to make stuff work better than you can tell me how to make stuff work. I don't like to not know what's going to happen, so I feel like if I put my will into the situation, I can make happen what I want to make happen. And so I had a really hard time grasping the idea of working steps to better my life and trusting that another human being, a sponsor right here, will help me do this. So I really had to be like put in this really straight, narrow like situation where they were just on my ass about my behavior because I don't have any play, you know. You give me a little bit of slack and I'm like, woo, like way over, you know, doing my own thing. So with that, it was really, really hard for me. But with this like rigid program that they gave me, and they put me, oh, they have this thing in this rehab where they put you in the kitchen. It's like cook or clean or do coffee or something. They put you in there for like a week or two. They put me in there for 3 months. So I was doing this stuff for 3 months, but it saved my life, you know, because in the process of like staying focused and having my little job for 3 straight months, which I never did anything that consistently, but by having this little project to work on, it kept me out of the bullshit, kept me out of the drama, because I always want to jump right into the drama, you know, he said, she said, who you fucking, who's he fucking, I'll pass the note for you, and you hold my mud, you know, like, I always wanted to be right in the middle of everything, and this time, like, I just was like, something happened, like, about somewhere in that 3 months, I don't know where, like, I was only going to stay 30 days, but my court dates kept getting moved back, you know, you got to come again. So I stayed there for about 6 months, and somewhere in there, I you know, I had to work the steps, had to get a sponsor, there were rules, you know, if you want to stay there, and so I got a sponsor, I got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, and I started to work the steps here, and I started to understand very little, but just enough to like keep me one more day from running out and fixing. Because I had the obsession to use probably for my first like 30 to 60 days. You know, all I wanted to do was use. That's all I could think about. I mean, you know what it feels like. It's like the driving force of, you know, where you're just like, they call it white knuckling it, or like sitting on your hands, like so you don't run out the door. Like, I had the obsession to fucking use every day. And somewhere along there, I heard some old-timer share, and he's like, you know, when you have the obsession to use, just say it over and over again. God, please take away from me. Please take away the obsession. You don't have to believe in God. Just say it. Just whatever, to pass the time, right? So start doing that, like, because I didn't want to talk to God. I didn't want to hear nothing about God. I didn't want to hear you talk to me about God. But I just went ahead and did it. I was like, okay, God, come on, help me with this obsession. And I say it all the time, over and over. And somewhere in there, it left me. The obsession was lifted, and I started to, like, experience the steps. Like, one of the, like, best tools I've ever gotten here is having a sponsor. And like I said, I didn't trust anybody, but somebody told me that the relationship that you build with your sponsor is going to be what you base all your future relationships on. It's like the foundation, at least, for which you base all your future relationships on, which is trust, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, like a whole bunch of spiritual principles that I didn't know shit about, but I was like, okay, you know, I'll give it a shot. So my first sponsor was this woman who just really helped me lay my foundation in this program, and she was actually one of my counselors in treatment, so she knew me pretty well. And she helped me so much in understanding the steps and the fellowship and like experience a little bit of growth, like very little. if it wasn't, you know, for having a sponsor, like, my understanding of the steps would be really limited. And that goes the same for, like, being able to sponsor women. I have a great relationship with my sponsor now, who's been my sponsor for, like, 4 years, inside 2 years clean. She's been my sponsor for 4 years, and I feel like I really trust her. You know, like, I'll pretty much, I don't have anything to lose by telling her everything, right? I don't have anything to lose except, you know, ego, probably. You know, and that's all a lie. You know, what my ego tells me about myself is usually a lie. But it goes the same for, like, sponsoring other women. Every time, I'm on my 9th step right now, but every time I'll be working with a sponsee and she'll be on her 1st step or her 2nd step or something, you know, I'll read something that I've read, like, a number of times, and it'll have, like, a completely different meaning to me now. And it just feels like as my recovery progresses and as my recovery, like, kind of evolves, like, my understanding of the steps that I've already worked changes too. Like, it's like always changing. And I think that's really, you know, a brilliant thing about recovery, is that we get to stay here and we get to change, you know, because life doesn't change, you know, like, the world doesn't change, the world doesn't stop spinning, but, you know, we get to change, like, ourselves. And sometimes I feel really grateful that I'm an addict, because I see people out there that maybe aren't addicts, or maybe are, and I don't know if they are or aren't, but I see, like, a lot of people having problems in their life, and it's like, I feel so fortunate to have the steps, you know, because I got a tool, you know, like, you just, like, some people just have their problems and they don't know what to do with them, you know, they can act out in different ways, but I'm so fortunate because I have these tools and I can apply them in my daily life, you know, because it feels like all my life I'm going to be faced with different challenges and different situations that I've never had to deal with, and having the steps to work on, like, new situations is so helpful. It's like such a blessing to have the steps and the guidance of a sponsor. And I also really feel strongly about having, like women having a female sponsor and men having a male sponsor. I just feel like, you know, there's intimate issues in my life, and I just feel like a woman can understand, like, estrogen overload more than a man. Because sometimes, like, with hormonal stuff, with women at least, it's like really hard to tell the difference between disease thinking and reality. I don't know if men have that problem, but I don't know if I trust a man telling me what to do about that kind of stuff. and it's just also a really great tool for learning how to develop relationship with a woman, because women were the first people I didn't trust when I got here. You know, I was like one of the guys. I can hang with the guys and roll with the guys and steal cars with the guys and get in fights with the guys. But, like, the girls, you know, I just didn't trust. I did not trust women. And I'm 6 years clean, and I have so many great relationships with women. And it's really, like, just totally affected my life in a really positive way, because I thought women were all catty and out to get my man or something. But what else?
Today?
Like, what's happening today? Today's Easter. I went on an Easter egg hunt. No, today things, my life is so good, and I never, never, never appreciate my life as much as I should, because I can never step back and, like, see it for what it really is, you know. When I compare my life today to what it was like before I got here, you know, I never thought I'd live through my 20s. You know, I never planned on that kind of stuff. I just didn't, it didn't even cross my mind. Hi, Bob. It didn't even cross my mind that I'd lived through my 20s, and the fact that now I'm in my 30s, it's like, it's unbelievable. And I really, you know, growing up, I had such a bad concept of childhood. Like, I did not want to have children. I was like, I will never subject a child to life, because life is fucked. But I've, like, totally changed my views on that. I have a 2-year-old daughter now, and I just can't believe that I've changed from somebody that's so against childhood and, just even having children on the planet, like, to having a child. I experience so much through her, you know, and it's such a blessing that I have, you know, myself to offer to another human being. Like, I have my recovery working in my life, which helps me work in another human being's life and be a good example to her as she grows up, you know. And another reason I never wanted to have kids is because I just thought I'd never stop using. You know, I was going to use until, you know, it went into the ground. I was just going to drive this thing all the way down. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I was 29 years old and I landed in recovery again. I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I don't want to turn 30. and it just happened. But life today is really brilliant. You know, I was always jealous growing up of, like, friends that I would meet that got to, like, travel with their parents or get things handed to them. They'd get cars or they'd get to go to school or stuff like that, because I'm from LA. I grew up here. My parents had me when they were 17, and my dad broke my mom out of Orange County Juvenile Hall, and they ran off and had a baby, and so that was the kind of world I was brought into, and using to me was also really normal. Like, I knew it was kind of to be kept secret, but it was just so normal. It was just an everyday part of life, and growing up around that, like, I didn't get to experience much of the world. You know, we moved every 6 months, and I'd live here and there. And so I grew up like this really rebellious kid. But when I got clean, I had all this stuff that I wanted to do that I'd been kind of like saving in my little files in here, like, oh, I'd like to do this one day. So I've got all these files of things I want to do in life, and now I actually have the opportunity to do them because I'm not like tied to some connection or tied to the methadone clinic or whatever it is. Like, I can actually go out and experience life. When I had 2 years clean, I went to Europe and got to ride on the train and go stay in hostels in all these different countries. I went to some NA meetings out there and actually got to speak at one in Amsterdam, and they took me out to dinner and they treated me so nicely. And I mean, Narcotics Anonymous is everywhere. It's like worldwide. I got stuck in Chicago once and called the NA hotline, and the 2 days I was stuck there, they sent people like 4 different times to come get me and take me to meetings so that I wouldn't have to just sit in my hotel room alone, because alone is a bad place for an addict. But I've just had so many good experiences in NA. You know, they really taught the experiences I had, you know, using. And I was going to say something else that I did. Oh, what else? Oh, I got to go to Tahiti. Like, I just got to go to, like, so many places because I'm free from being tied to, like, some connection or something. And, you know, I still have things I want to do in life, places I want to go. I want to learn how to break dance. I want to skydive out of an airplane. I want to learn how to moonwalk. And I want to, like, bungee jump, but I want to do it right. Like, I want to do it off a bridge and dip my head into, like, a river. Like, I don't want to do it off the Queen Mary. Like, there's all these things I want to do. You know, I have, like, this big, long list now. And now I want to learn how to surf. I want to be like, a pro surfer and be in my 40s. I think that would be really hot. And I want to learn how to, well, I know how to snowboard, but I want to be really good at it. I want to learn how to do, like, so many things, and I actually have the opportunity to do them, and I don't fear my age, and I don't fear, like, leaving my house now. I don't fear, like, talking to people. Sometimes I do, you know. Actually, that's kind of a lie. Yeah, sometimes I really fear, like, talking to people I don't know, you know, but it's not as, what's that word? It doesn't just, like, it used to just make me petrified to have to, like, go out of my house and face somebody and have a conversation, no matter how long it was. If it was, like, the guy at 7-Eleven, or if it was, like, just anyone, somebody at work, you know, like, I used to just be petrified that people would just find out who the fuck I am and that I wasn't good enough and know, like, all the shit that my disease tells me about myself. Like, I could just feel, I would feel like people could see right through me, and they're going to get me. And I used to just be petrified of people. And sometimes it comes up, you know, sometimes I feel really insecure or like, oh, I just can't do this day. But, like, I have tools. I have the steps. I have people in my life. If I don't, like, call people for a week, or not even a week, like a few days, you know, people call me and they see how I'm doing. And people seem to really care. And anyway, I think I'm going to stop talking because I can't come up with anything else to say. But I want to thank you for having me come out to speak tonight, and welcome anyone who's new. And just, if the best thing you can do is just stay and keep coming back, or, you know, just stay. Stay as long as you can, and try and not leave before the miracle. Thanks.
Oh.